When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. It's Chris here.
And I'm Syl.
And it's May 2nd. Today it's Sunday. And what day in Maple Leaf history is that, Syl?
Well, I believe this is the anniversary of our last Stanley Cup win in 1967 today.
Yep, that's it. I was reminded this morning. We always like to celebrate our... our past, our history, and a lot of jokes come from that from opposing teams. But hey, that's why I guess a friend of mine actually put in his post. That's the fact that it's so long ago. Somehow it's made Leafs Nation stronger and believing in the teams for like and being so dedicated fans. Mm-hmm. Somehow, I mean, I don't know. That's how he looked at it. So you got to take another positive is the fact that our team now is finally doing well. I mean, we've had other teams, obviously, throughout the past 54 years, I guess. I think it's 54 mm-hmm. years. But we've had other teams that have done well. But this one here seems to be a little bit different. So we're crossing our fingers for a long playoff run and at least getting one win in the one round anyways, at least. Anyhow, we wanted to start off the show with that. And we also wanted to start off the show with giving our condolences to the family and friends of former Leaf Miroslav Fritscher. Fritscher was a scoring winger, played 7 seasons with the Leafs, and he played in the not so great 80s, which we remember well, especially me. speaking for myself, I know. I just remember for the longest time back then in those early 80s, like we always only had one line. And finally, when Miroslav Fritscher came along, he was a scoring winger, and his centerman was Peter Inichek, and Walt Podubny was on the other wing. And unfortunately, he's sadly passed away as well. But it formed an exciting second line. That's what I'm getting to. They were an actual second line that we had, which we never had. And I actually remember saying that to so many friends of mine back then. So that we were all excited to finally have two lines, not just one line. But so Fritscher is still in the top 50 all-time points as a Leaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting. He did add a little bit of excitement with that line. I definitely remember him as a player from back then. Interestingly, Lance Hornby also tweeted a comment from Fritscher's line mate, Peter Inichek, after Fritscher had picked him up at the airport for his first training camp and they were driving down the Gardner, Fritscher turned to Inichek and said, look around. If we play well, we can be kings in this city. They love hockey. Truer words can never be spoken. So rest in peace, Miroslav Fritscher. On a happier note, something to look forward to and also related to Leafs alumni. There's apparently going to be a TV series about the life and times of Börje Salming. So filming for that is supposed to start next year. I can't actually think of a more colorful Leaf to follow because he is, first of all, he looks like he could still play now.
He's in
such great shape. So like, even if they just did workout videos, that he does. And, you know, they could really market that, but he's like very entrepreneurial. He's started like ball hockey leagues. Like he's like done so many things and he's still very active in and creating new and different things. So I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, he's all over social media. I mean, totally. On Instagram, he's like, he's showing, like, he's definitely like an outdoorsman kind of guy, it seems. He's always doing stuff outside. And yeah, I think he has like a clothing line now. I think he has like, he's getting into like linens and bedding and stuff like that. I don't know. He has lots of things going on, which is great. I mean, he just turned 70. So it's great to see him doing well. And yeah, I look forward to this, this TV series. It's going to talk about like him coming like in Sweden as well as coming over obviously here and playing in the NHL, being one of the first Europeans to come over here and play and what that was like. So yeah, that's definitely going to be something to look forward to. And then another Hollywood moment for us, for our team. I don't think we've mentioned it before. So
I think we did, but it was really, really early on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning of the season when we found out they're doing this.
Yeah, this Amazon sports documentary, All or Nothing, it's called, which is going to be released apparently in the fall before the start of next season. So that's a really big, from what I read anyways, there was like a real big discussion between the NHL, the Maple Leafs and Amazon to come together to be on this, to do this documentary. So that'll be interesting as well, like to see
the timing of that is actually kind of smart because depending on what happens at the end of this season, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can edit it to fit the appropriate narrative, first of all, before they actually release it in the fall. And the other thing is it can also be, it will be like a hype moment, like regardless of what happens, I think, to put it out before the next season starts. Like, that's like, what a primer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Leafs Nation, right? So
yeah,
it's kind of smart the way they're doing it, because regardless of the outcome, like obviously we hope the outcome is going to be as positive as can be.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, if that doesn't happen, there's ways that they can edit it and you know, put it out to fit the appropriate narrative, right? So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, hopefully by then, like, and the NHL is hoping, everybody's hoping, like this pandemic thing, that they'll actually be like, we'll be looking forward to actually going to see the games in person next season. So I think so to have this as a primer, let's just say, like to get ready for it, like you're saying, it's well positioned.
They I swear to God, MLSE is like the most brilliant marketing machine there is.
Oh,
like
just
when you think that they can't do anything new and different, like, because obviously everybody copies throughout the league and throughout all the other leagues, the stuff that we do or the stuff that MLSE does. I'm not an employee, obviously. but yeah, like I that's actually quite brilliant. Anyway, so lots to look forward to for the team off the ice, and we've got a lot to get to with the team on the ice, so let's get to it. So we're obviously going to cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then we're going to roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel and get into another third period segment. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
The good, the bad, the ugly. So this time it was kind of fun because last time I think we couldn't pick up anything that was good, but this time we have some good stuff for both of us. It was pretty easy to pick it. My good this time is the veteran forward group, and that being Jason Spezza, Joe Thornton, Wayne Simmonds, and our new addition to the team, Nick Foligno. I was going to say Mike Foligno. Anyways, we won't go there. But no, Nick Foligno. So they are in fine form as we get closer to the playoffs. Spezza and Thornton both have 5-game point streaks going now after Saturday night. They both got points last night versus the Canucks. Foligno has a point every game he's played. So he has a 4-game point streak going. And Simmons is being Simmons, basically just being a presence on the bench, chirping people, sticking up for teammates, and doing what we knew we were getting from him. And he's doing well on the ice too. So, I think it's just good that they're getting tuned up at the right time now, right? We're getting, obviously, we only have 5 or 6 games left to go before the playoffs. So, definitely, they're all getting themselves ready, ramping up, especially Jumbo Joe there too, with his chirping antics against Winnipeg. And I don't know what was bothering him so much from Nikolai Ehlers there, but he definitely was chirping him. And Jason Spezza, I mean, this is his second season now with us, so but I think he's actually doing better than he was last year. And he's 37 this year, like he's a year older, but he seems to be better. Actually, that's one thing I noticed too, like the young guys, like Sandin and Adam Brooks, Adam Brooks is centering the two old guys.
I know, it's hilarious seeing him sitting between the two guys on the bench. He looks like this baby.
Yeah. Oh my God, but he's taking it all in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's taking it all in. But what they said was Sandin, actually, he was funny in one interview I saw of him. He's like, those guys actually try to be younger than us. He said, right? He goes, it's great. He goes, they come into the room and they're all like, it's like they're all younger than us, or they're trying to act younger than them. So I think that positive vibe that way too, from having so many played so many games and just all their experience, like it's just going to be, it's infectious basically on the team. And then, Nick Foligno, I mean, I'll get into him a little bit more too. We have him in another section, but he had that speech going, I guess before the first game that he played versus Winnipeg, he had the speech where he basically said like how excited he was to be a Leaf. So that I think was really, really interesting as well. But so I don't know.
I agree. And to me, I find it interesting, you know, what a difference 2 weeks can make, because literally on our last podcast, we were lamenting that we're not getting any secondary scoring from this group. And now they basically have decided to turn it on. So it's fantastic what we've seen from them. And obviously we were looking forward to those games against Winnipeg as another marker for them. And they really, really showed up in those two games, and particularly this veteran forward presence. So I think that did get people fired up, and is a good signal for our younger guys that, you know, they mean business. And, I think that we do need people like that to help us help carry us through. So, definitely, they did start showing up. So let's hope that can continue.
I think that for Foligno, going back to him too, I think that connection to the past is important.
Oh yeah.
Too. Yeah. From that 93 run. But, yeah. So what's your good?
My good, this is somebody else that we sort of discussed a little bit last time too, is Rasmus Sandin. We were wondering if he was ever going to get into any games, and lo and behold, he's basically been a real bright spot in this last bunch of games. And
before you get into it, it's funny because, like you said, the last time,
yeah,
like we thought the older players, like we were saying the last show, the older players or the bottom six weren't any good. They come, so it's almost like they're listening to us. Maybe they are listening to Ladies Talking Leafs, right? Because
we
spoke about Sandin, right?
Maybe,
and so then all of a sudden Sandin is playing, and he's playing great.
I like to think of it that our passion is so strong that we're putting these vibes out into the universe, you know, along with other members of Leafs Nation, I'm sure. And you know, the hockey gods, maybe they're listening. So anyway.
Exactly. Anyways, go on.
Back to Sandin.
Yeah.
So he's played 7 games this year with us. I actually didn't even remember that he got into a game with us in February. So he played 1 game, like just a very short, I think 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but it was, you know, not memorable, I don't think. But since he's been called up, he's been in 7 games total. He has 3 points, all assists, and he is a +7. So he is basically checking all the boxes right now. But what I notice and what obviously everyone's talking about is his poise and his hockey sense is off the charts. So the big strike against him, I think, has always been his size. That also, I think, has been put to bed in with that check that yes. Wheeler tried to lay yeah. out on him and flatten him, thinking that he could lay out this punk kid coming in. And he stood his ground. And it was a reverse hit. And Wheeler basically bounced right off of him and kind of got felt it, let's just say. So I think he's definitely working on his strength. So, like, if he can do that, he's going to become a really, really complete defensive player, but also he's got these offensive skills and hockey sense where he can just find people. And I love him on the power play, and I look forward to seeing him for years to come, you know, quarterbacking that top unit, because he seems to be able to get pucks through. So I'm super, super impressed with him. And I think we knew this is what we were going to see from him. So let's just hope that it continues and that he keeps building on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said earlier, I listened to an interview he was on Sportsnet, and I didn't know he actually played with Willie's brother. He has like a pretty strong connection with the Nylander family.
Yeah.
He uh-huh. played with Alex Nylander over in Sweden, mm-hmm. and they came over together. When they were, because he had played junior here, he played with the Sioux,
yeah.
right? That's how I guess there's the connection with Kyle Dubas and Sheldon mm-hmm. Keefe, like they know him. And anyways, I didn't know though there was this connection with Willie's brother, Alex. And so that's kind of fun. And they both have the same agent apparently as well. Mm-hmm. So they say that he says that he, and Willie's the roommate of, now he's the older brother, I guess, is now Rasmus Sandin's roommate. So that's kind of cool. So that's happening. And he seems he's very confident, definitely, like mm-hmm. in his abilities. And it seems like he's grown a lot since last season. I look forward to it as well. Like on the power.
He's a great interview.
Oh, yeah.
He does not give those canned responses. Like, I do like listening to him. So,
yeah, because he said, he also said some of them were asking, like, how does he approach the power play? And because they were saying, like, he seems to be seeing the ice well, that sort of thing. And he just said, he's very just upfront. He just says, you know, I'm just looking for the best play, like the open man or the open guy. He goes, I'm not always trying to filter it to like Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. Like if they're not there, I'm not going to send it there, obviously, sort of thing. Right. So, I mean, he's just, it makes so much sense what he's saying. And it's like, okay. So it's translating a little bit on the ice. He doesn't get that much time on the power play because he's on the second unit still. Right.
But I see that in his future for sure.
But yeah.
Anyways, so we should move on, I guess, to our bad.
To the bad.
Maybe a little bit of bad.
Just the bad. I mean, there wasn't too much to choose from. The bad I picked out here was from the Marlies had, a COVID outbreak. And so from that, and I'm not sure if there was anything else in the league, but the AHL announced that this year or this season, the 2021 Calder Cup would not be awarded for the second year in a row. So, what they're going to do apparently is the AHL is going to just award a trophy to each divisional winner. So they're still going to play out the season. The Marlies played their first game back was yesterday. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, they lost, unfortunately. But it's still good to just have at least they're back, they're healthy, and that there's somewhere to play for these players, right? With the taxi squad going up and down and that kind of thing. And also for our Frederik Andersen, obviously, which is the story, never ending story there, whether or not he goes down, and at least he has there's that opportunity to play somewhere if you can't get in a game here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the bad, though, the fact that there is no Calder Cup this season being awarded again.
Yeah, and, that's yeah. very sad. And it's tough on those players. So, like, I can't even imagine, like, emotionally and even, you know, financially, it's been really tough on these guys that are, you know, basically down there looking for a break, right? And mm-hmm. COVID has just robbed so many people. I mean, obviously, you know, being a hockey player, you're in a little bit of a privileged class of people, but, you know, in the hierarchy of hockey and the NHL, you know, you are just in that league trying to make your way to, you know, get up to the big club at some point. And this definitely makes it difficult for the development of a lot of these guys. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so Sill didn't have anything bad, right?
No. I really, really racked my brain, but I was kind of with good feelings, and I couldn't really pinpoint anything. Like, I really would have had to nitpick to pull something out. And I just thought, after the couple weeks they had, that's not really fair. So I'm just going to pass on the bad.
Yeah. This and time we're around. And we're also passing on the ugly too, because there's nothing ugly, and it's good because we're getting closer to the playoffs. We don't need anything to be ugly right now. I mean, the power play still has to be tuned, fine tuned or got up to speed, but it's not as noticeable. Let's just say that for now. So let's move on to some more positivity and roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier on, but our number three pick, we are going with Nick Foligno. So he played his first game as a Leaf versus Winnipeg on April 22nd. And as Chris mentioned before the game, he addressed the team to say how excited he was to be a Leaf. He was even wearing his dad's old Leaf cap at his first media press conference that his dad gave him from the 1993 run. And he's, of course, wearing his dad's number 71. So, and he has not disappointed. Like, I would say, you know, we weren't sure if he was going to be a fit on that top line. But honestly, it's been pretty darn seamless. And Matthews and Marner are getting really good looks. He is doing whatever he needs to physically without, you know, I would say that he's just positionally, he's fantastic. And even last night, he made that great defensive play in the defensive zone and basically flipped the puck around going down the other way. So he's a really, really smart player, and I actually kind of like him up there with them for now. So we'll see if this means that when Hyman comes back, he can slot in to that third line, which I think is what they would prefer, so that they could really beef up that line.
Yeah. So I love that he wears the cap. I think he's going to be wearing, from what he said, he's going to be wearing it every press conference whenever he's called for. He's going to wear the cap.
That's going to maybe bring us some good luck. So
yeah, and I mean, ever since he came into the lineup, we're on a 4-game win streak now. We've won every game, so I don't think that's a coincidence. And he's definitely looking fine up there with Marner and Matthews, and I think it also proves that basically anybody can play with those two players.
And true.
And I think they would be fine. But so let's go on to number two. Number two we put as Jumbo Joe Thornton. I don't think he's been on our highlight reel this year. So he collected his 1,100th career assist versus the Habs, and he became the seventh player in NHL history to do this. Not to mention, I mean, I guess this is a compliment or something. He became the oldest player to score a goal for the Leafs at 41 years old, and he passed Leafs alumni Alan Stanley with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's reaching some rarefied air when it comes to this league and even on our team. So, that's pretty special company to be only the seventh player in NHL history to do that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can still see it on the ice. He, again, like also a veteran guy, super, super smart player, just really knows where to be on the ice, very economical in where he chooses to be. I do think he's one of those guys that definitely knows where the puck is going to be. And also, he must be good at chess. Like, honestly, some of these guys, I bet they're good chess players because he seems to be able to see things a couple of plays ahead as to, you know, how to you know, how things are going to click. So,
That's
fantastic for Joe.
Yeah. And then...
I'm like slipped off there for a second.
It's your turn.
I was thinking about Joe. You know, getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame is what was in my mind at that moment. Anyway, so I drifted off a bit there. Well, sorry.
That's pretty much guaranteed, probably. Yes, yeah. I would think so.
So yeah. Number one on our highlight reel is the one and only Auston Matthews. So obviously our listeners should know by now that the highlight reel moment, the moment of his 35th goal of the season versus the Habs and how he batted the puck out of the air, got it by the player, and then controlled the bouncing puck to shoot it past the goalie, Jake Allen. Yes, what a moment. Just another wow moment for AM34. Like, it's just, he's making it look so darn easy right now. Like, I don't know. Like, last night, I think I commented to you that the game... he looked like he was playing like in a Timbits game, and he was like the one player that was like way, way better than everybody else. Like, so it's pretty impressive. And, you know, we're just going to have to keep adding him on our highlight reel here as he is putting more and more accolades together. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's not like we should tell our listeners. It's not like, well, I mean, they know, obviously. I mean, it's hard not to include him on every highlight
100%,
reel,
on
all of our highlight reels, because the guy just does something every, like almost every game. Like, he rarely has a night off that you can remember where there's something that he did that's not noticeable at a different level than everybody else. So, so yeah, yeah. And we just want that to continue going into the playoffs. We know that it will, and that, yeah, and he's still going after that Rocket Richard trophy. So that's what we're looking forward to. Now, we should give the honorable mention. Syl thought of this as well. She was thinking very hard about this. She couldn't remember what it was. But an honorable mention goes to Jason Spezza, who this was really cool, actually. He rallied with his Leaf teammates to... He rallied them to chip in and support their Marley brothers. As we discussed, being a professional hockey player in the AHL this year has been difficult in many ways, so including financially. And in Jason Spezza's words, they're a part of the family, and the Marleys are, and they're just taking care of each other. Vintage is a special player, person, and role model for our young guys. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like for him to think of that, and I don't think they actually wanted it to come out, but somehow it did. Yeah. And but yeah, like it's tough. It's tough playing in the AHL, and some of these guys, like they're like, and especially with the whole COVID thing on top of it, and they're just not getting the opportunities like that they normally would in this odd time, basically. And so it's really good that the players decide to do that and support their Marley brothers.
100%.
So moving on, now we're going to our third period. Mm-hmm. Third period. So this is where Syl and I, we picked a couple of topics to discuss, just in general, whether they're Leaf related or not Leaf related. But in this case, I decided to talk about, because we're getting close to the playoffs now, and I want to talk a little bit about what's going to happen once we get to the conference finals, where the Canadian team is coming out of the division and where they're going to play. There's an idea circulating that the Canadian team will have to move the location to a U.S. Arena, obviously to a place maybe where a team is not didn't make the playoffs, like Buffalo or Detroit, for example, let's say in our case, because they're the two closest teams in the U.S. And this is all assuming, of course, the border is closed. So I just don't think it's fair that the Canadian team would have to move out and live out of a hotel in a city that they don't know. But from what I get, or I understand, the opponent will play in their home rink. And majority of the U.S. cities now have fans in their building. So we're going to play in this empty building and we had to stay in the hotel and not have our usual environment, let's just say. But the other team, let's say by the time we get there, it's the final four. So let's just say it's Tampa. I don't know. Like they're going to basically just play in their home rink in Tampa and have all the facilities available that they're used to and stay in their beds and all that. I just don't think it's fair. I don't know. I think that I really hope that they figure something out either with the Canadian government or by that time, maybe things. I mean, I did see yesterday Toronto said that there was, I guess we got 40% of people are vaccinated with their first shot. So, woohoo, way to go, Toronto, sir. Then keep going with the vaccinations. But I don't know. I just don't. I think whoever is playing that Canadian team should have to, if it has to go into like a bubble again, then they should have to play out of the one rink and not have any fans. I don't think that a team should play with no fans and then go to the U.S.
well,
team's home rink.
My thinking is that if they go to a U.S. market, they will have fans, but the fans are not going to be Leaf fans.
No.
They're going to be fans, like American fans. Like, mind you, I would assume that if they decided to, say, go to Buffalo or Detroit, there's a chance that you're going to get fans of the Leafs that are able to, that live on the other side of the border. So that are American, maybe, that they do like the Leafs. Or are, you know, expats or whatever that live on that side now or something like that. So there could be some, let's just say.
Yeah, however, but apparently there was also, I'm forgetting the finer details of it, but there was something said that it's no guarantee that it, let's just say if it's a board, like us, we're a border team, let's just say, no guarantee that we'll be playing there. Like they could send us to...
Totally.
Like we could go play in Chicago, for example.
I heard Chicago mentioned, actually, and I think it's somewhat dependent on, you know, who our opponent is going to be. So if the opponent is going to be in the West, then they may put us somewhere where they're just not playing. So Chicago is an option, say that their run is done or whatever, right? Yeah. But I agree with you. I don't think that there should be any fans allowed in. However, because this is a revenue thing, there's no way that's not going to happen. Now, I'm just hoping that if they do, and I'm sure that this is that the MLSC will negotiate this. Like they're obviously going to be getting, you know, say let's just use Detroit as the example, and they're allowed to have Michiganders come in and watch the games. Who's getting the revenue from that? Is Detroit getting the revenue because it's their building? You know, that's the other thing, is that the other team gets the full revenue potentially. And then we're getting, like, MLSE, you know, is going to have to split the revenue or maybe not get any at all. So to me, they have to make that fair, where, like, even with that, is that, I mean, not like MLSE needs the money, but you know what? That's our only advantage. So I want them to get what they're due. And they probably should make it a pool and split it equally amongst all the teams that are in there or something, because it's not equitable. It's just not, fair. Right. So, and it's an unfair advantage, absolutely, for whoever is playing out of an American team. Like,
it's a fluid situation, as they're saying.
Yeah,
we are early.
Yeah, and right? Headliners, like, I mean, did talk about that last night too. Chris Johnston mentioned that there is still a chance that Canadian teams are going to be able to play out of their home rink, and they are. But obviously, that announcement is not going to be made until the 11th hour, because they're still negotiating it. But that's the option. That's their preferred option, that the Canadian teams do indeed play out of their home rink. So
I think
we're gonna have to wait and see.
I think June 1st. Somehow I have June 1st in my mind, but June 1st, I think, is the deadline for them to actually have something in place, either with the Canadian government or to say what's going on. But
even with that, I mean, even say, you know, we are in the conference final and they're allowed to play out of Scotiabank Arena. There's like a really good chance that we're not going to be allowed to be in that building. So why is it for the other teams in the States to have fans? Like, if they're playing here, they're not going to get that same advantage. Like, you know?
No, that's true. So. Yeah. Yeah. And another thing, just quickly, that I think is dumb is how our season is ending on May 14th. But because the Canucks are still playing games through to May 19th, we're going to be waiting a whole week, basically, before starting the playoffs. And the U.S. teams, from what I heard, are going to be starting with what was originally planned by the NHL that week of, because the season was supposed to end on May the 12th. So I think they would have been starting like on May 14, 15. I just think it's dumb that, I mean, I think the Canucks are playing three games versus the Flames, their final three games. And it's like both teams could be out of it by then. They might even be out of it like this week sometime. And they're going to make us wait a whole week and sit around.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually think that there's still a chance that that might not happen. And I agree with you. Like, I don't really see the need for, you know, because it's not like their venues have any impact. So let them play out their games. You know, that's fine. You can still televise them and everything. But why can't our playoffs start at the same time as everyone else? Because it doesn't impact them at all. So if they're just playing out the string, let them play out the string for their lottery position, but the playoffs should still be able to go on as starting, because it doesn't have any effect on any of the venues or anything. So it should be able to go on.
Yeah, I know exactly. All right, so that's my rant. What do you want to rant about?
Well, okay, my thing was...
What do you want to talk about?
Obviously, we're a ladies or women's podcast, and, you know, by women for women, although we do welcome all Leafs Nation to listen to us. But my beef was about the Women's World Championships and how it was canceled at the last minute. Well, I mean, by the province of Nova Scotia, you know, they had some cases come up, but really the double IHF is the one that, you know, canceled it and didn't seem to really do anything to, you know, find another option. And of course they said, and they had Rene Fassel on Hockey Night in Canada last night. I wasn't really too thrilled with the things that he said, but the way it was handled, I mean, you've got to wonder if it was a men's event, if the same thing would have happened. Like, for example, right now, the under 18 World Championships for the boys is happening right now.
Yeah.
That's still going on. You know, for the women's game, this is pretty much their Stanley Cup. This is the thing that they work for and look forward to every year. Would they cancel a Stanley Cup final? I don't think so. I think they would find a way to run it. Thankfully, it's been rescheduled for August. The site is still to be determined. However, and it looks like, I think that they're saying that it's probably going to be somewhere in Canada, so most likely in Alberta. But yeah, I really feel like if this was, this all has to do with corporate ad revenue and things like that, that they just, if it was a men's tournament, they would have found a way to run it.
Yeah. I read an article, an ESPN article, Emily Kaplan wrote, and it's included in our links in our show notes if our listeners want to have a look. It was a really good article. They spoke to Sarah Nurse, right? I get mixed up with Kia Nurse because I watched the Raptors too. With Kia Nurse and Sarah Nurse. She was in the article, as well as Kendall Coyne Schofield, the American player. Anyhow, like, these women have not played a meaningful game in like 2 years, almost like over 2 years. They haven't played a meaningful game. Many of these players don't make money doing this. And they arrange the time to, like, for their training and in these cases with the whole COVID situation, like they're away from the family, away from jobs. I guess like they have to arrange, obviously each country has to arrange booking, like their travel arrangements, their flights, their hotels to like prepare. That's all lost basically, mm-hmm. like from this. Who knows if they'll get money back from that. I don't know with those arrangements. But for me, they followed all the rules from what I read in this article when it comes to quarantining right up until like the last day. They were all, even the overseas teams like Hungary and Sweden, Finland, those teams, they were getting ready to go on the plane. And then they get this notice like, no, don't get on that plane, stay home sort of thing. Right. It's like, I don't know. It's, I can see why they're frustrated. Like with the IIHF, mm-hmm. it's easier to say it, International Ice Hockey Federation, not having a contingency plan. Like how can you not have a contingency plan in case of this? I, mm-hmm. Province of Nova Scotia, I do think is also like a little bit to blame also. I mean, how can you wait until the day before?
Yeah.
until they know the dates as well. Like yeah. they're not dumb. And then
like why was there not any communication leading up to yeah. this or discussion?
Like at least a week before anyways to let the IIHF know that, you know, they're worried kind of thing, yeah. right? Like something. But in reality, they needed to also have this contingency plan. And it really makes you think, like, is women's hockey an afterthought kind of mm-hmm. thing? Right. And it means a lot to even like little girls growing up playing the game, too. Right. Mm-hmm. Like they look at this, too. And then it doesn't give you a very good feeling. But
I think that, you know, it's all well and good to celebrate these women so much, you know, during the Olympic years or whatever, when they show up for us and they've given us incredible moments. In, you know, the several of the last past Olympics. And so we're always celebrating them. But when the chips are down, like who is really back giving them support and backing them? It's just not right. So anyways, very disappointing.
Yeah. But at least, like you said, I think it's in August, I think it might be in Calgary that they're thinking of yeah. having the tournament again. So yeah. hopefully that works out for them. So, games, going back to the Leafs now, games we're looking forward to as we go into the last couple of weeks of the season. For really, it's just about clinching first place in the North Division and for Austin Matthews to basically solidify winning the Rocket Richard Trophy. Like there's no actual specific games. I mean, they're playing three games versus the Habs. So I guess that's possibly the tune-up, I guess, to play them in the first round. But really it's about securing first place and that Rocket Richard Trophy for Austin Matthews.
Yeah. I really agree that there's not any one specific game I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to more, watching them ramp up and, just, you know, the different things that we've seen emerging over the last 2 weeks, you know, like, you know, that fire, the secondary scoring starting to come together, just things kind of solidifying and getting a little bit more set. And I am looking forward to, you know, I don't know what game this will happen to be in, but I'm looking forward to seeing Zach Hyman back in the lineup and seeing how he looks and feels. And, you know, if Freddie might get in.
I was just going to say, yeah, our goaltender, you know, situation, hopefully we'll see how that
turns out. Right. Yeah. So it's just seeing all the pieces of the puzzle, getting back put together. So anyway, before we go, we do want to wish all the moms next week out there a happy Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so happy Mother's Day. It's next Sunday, mm-hmm. the 9th of May. So yeah, however you spend it, enjoy it. And even though we're here in Canada, we're still in quarantine here or in, what do you say? We're in lockdown, I guess. Mm-hmm. So we can't be together with moms, but however you spend it virtually, just make the best of it. Basically, that's what we're all mm-hmm. going to do.
So as always, if you have any thoughts on what we talked about on the show, please DM us on any of our social media platforms and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at our handle, which is at LTL1917. And you can also always email us at ladiestalkinleafs@gmail.com.
Yeah, and another way to connect with us is at ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com. There you can follow us and check out our video intro, where you can find out more about us and how our podcast came to life. If you choose to, you can also support us there and buy us a coffee. I like Tim's personally, but Ko-fi is good too. Any donation goes to helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. Find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes and any of our social media profile pages. As always, thank you to our healthcare workers and everything they do. Stay safe and well, everybody.
And go, Leafs, go!
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.